Welcome to Let's Get Social with me, Phil Twyford, the Curry Marketer, social media strategist and management.
And me, Eimear Duffy of Fit Social Media, your social media personal trainer.
So if you're confused about social media,
or not sure what channels to use, well, we've got you covered on
Let's Get Social.
So I'm afraid to ask, what's new, Philip?
Well, yes, I did some more research. The joke, the last episode was a huge hit. So I had to delve deep into the corny box of social media jokes to pull out this particular cracker.
Okay, go on.
Okay, so how do you get people to notice you on social media?
You're asking me seriously?
Yeah, I'm asking you seriously.
I'm going to play along and go, I don't know.
You have to really make an impression.
And you certainly haven't with that.
Yeah, I suppose first impressions last, the jokes are still rubbish.
Yeah.
And
as I always say, can you please keep the day job?
I will. Yeah, I apologise to all the listeners for that rubbish joke, but hey, you know, what can we do? So listen.
God loves a trier.
And I'll keep trying, so help me. Listen, in the last show we talked about Twitter. We talked about some reasons why you should consider having your business on Twitter, like particularly because of the large amount of people on the channel, like 330 million, and the fact that you can start to engage with an audience of people who might not necessarily have engaged with you before.
I know.
And we also talked about what you should have on your Twitter account, you know.
The
key thing about the Twitter header, you know, you don't kind of leave it just as a nondescript image, you know, put an image in there that's very much.
Yeah, and there's some really, you can get free software like Canva, and you can actually do text overlays yourself. So say you have an exciting competition coming up, or you have a launch of a new product, or some interesting, exciting news coming up, you can actually put that in the header, and then you might engage people then too that wouldn't have maybe thought of following you. They might go, oh, there's something coming up that's really interesting. So you'll get a bing, a new follower, you know?
Exactly. And I suppose just like all of the social media channels, you know, optimizing your account.
Yeah,
is critical. For
well, I mean, that's a real thing with me. I always say to people, look, you know, bad spelling is a no-no.
Yeah.
Grammatical errors are a no-no. It's a bit like, say, for example, you got business cards and you come home and you're all excited and you open it up and then you go, oh my God, there's a spelling mistake. And you've paid for these and you have to hand them out and you have to keep apologizing to people.
Yeah.
You don't want to have to apologize to people for your bio.
Yes.
So you want to say to yourself, I'll keep an eye on that and keep tweaking it, not tweeting it, tweaking it,
yes.
You know?
Yeah, no, it's very important because I think your bio, it's that even though you have a small bit of text, it's about 160 characters, it kind of make sure that you are focused on exactly what you want to say to your customers so that when a potential follower on Twitter lands on your Twitter profile, they have a pretty good idea as to what your account is going to be about.
So, like, talking about the Twitter platform itself, you know, we had talked in the last show about the profile image, you know, that when you click on it, it'll bring you to your profile bio.
Yep.
Your search bar is the search for accounts. It's like, you know, all social media channels have a search facility. So, you know, that's it's very handy to go in and see what's the latest topics, what hashtags, you know, you can search for the Curly Marketer and you can search for Fit Social Media.
And actually that search bar can be really useful because if, for example, say you're at an event and there is a hashtag for the event, you can actually put in the search bar that hashtag and it will bring up all of the tweets that have been used with that particular hashtag, so that if you have missed what's going on, because in the last show, Eimear, remember we were talking about Twitter lists, and sometimes if you're at a conference where very much your target audience is going to be there, you could actually create a Twitter list for the hashtag.
Oh yeah.
And by putting in the search bar the hashtag for the event, you could then suddenly see all the people who have tweeted with that hashtag, and then you could decide, well, I think I'll actually follow them and add them to my hashtag. Whatever
Twitter
it is,
list,
Twitter
list. Yeah. As I say, searching for hashtags are very, very handy, and it will kind of even, you know, get you across with that hashtag yourself because you wouldn't maybe have thought of using that hashtag, but you see it's very popular. Also, when you're looking at your phone and you're looking at the Twitter platform, the looking glass icon, that shows you what's trending and what's happening. There's a little bell icon, and that shows you what notifications and any mentions of you.
Yep.
So that's really important, especially if you have customers that maybe are trying to mention you, and maybe they've been a very happy customer and think fantastic service, got a great deal. But then you have the other side of the coin where they may be not a happy customer and you would want to know about that. So notifications are really important. And then you have the envelope icon, and that's the direct message, which are private messages to you that you can reply back to. So sometimes you'd see somebody who's maybe not happy or they're inquiring about something. You can say, look, you know, if you send me a DM, I will be able to find out more for you.
Yep.
So that's where they would private message you, and you will be able to engage with them under that little envelope, you know?
Yeah, that's very important. I think we'll probably talk a little bit later in the show about the whole area of how Twitter has become a real platform for customer service.
Oh yeah, especially, and I have a phrase for that. It's digital customer service now,
know,
and it is really important because certain airlines use it quite a lot, and they would also have in their bio, maybe they'd say, if you want to get in touch with our customer service department, here's the Twitter handle for that, so you'd click on that.
Yep.
So it takes away from the main feed and into another account, which they would then deal with their customer service issues, you know?
Yeah. Like, I suppose, particularly in this show for Twitter, we wanted to talk a little bit about, I suppose, some of the tweet strategies and the engaging strategies in relation to Twitter. Like, as we mentioned in our last show, it's up to 280 characters you can use. Keep it simple. Keep your tweet simple. Be aware of the tone of voice that you're using. Like, if your brand is about being very professional and your audience is a professional, maybe humor is not really what they're looking for, well, then kind of make sure that the tone of voice and how you write your tweets follows that. You know, very much have a photo, a video, or a GIF in your tweets, because they always, something that has not just plain text will always resonate.
No. I think GIFs are quite good because you may not have a photograph appropriate for the day or even taking video, but you still want to have something that will be in line with what you're talking about. And, you know, you have different GIFs for nearly everything. You can search in the GIF and find something that's really interesting.
Yeah, and the great thing as well now that with Twitter is you don't have to use an external kind of GIF site like Giphy or something. The GIFs are there literally kind of on your, within the kind of the tweet kind of tool area that you can actually upload straight
away. Really fun ones. I won't go into them all now, but go have a search yourself and you'll be amazed at the content that's there just in a little click, as they say.
I think very much, as I said, really know who your audience is and, you know, the type of content that they're going to be looking for, because if you can provide some real actionable insights or updates or news relevant to your industry that's going to be of interest to your audience, that's what you should be tweeting out. I think another great tip is the whole area of setting up a Twitter list of your competitors, making that list private, because you will always be very, very intrigued and interested to see what your competitors are tweeting about, or if they're on Twitter in the first place. But if you find that your competitors are actually tweeting about a particular piece of news or launch, that gives you then either the information to suddenly realize, well, we're behind the curveball, or we have the same service, but we need to actually tweet out and make our
and remember, known. If it is working for them, it's going to work for you.
Very much so, absolutely. You know? And like, be honest with you as well, like, you can look at your competitor's Twitter account and see who's following them.
Yeah.
And potentially follow their followers.
And they might follow you back. It's very sneaky. But
it is a bit sneaky, but they can...
They're probably doing it to you.
I'd say they are, you know, and good luck to them. There's only one curly marketer. Thank God, she's here.
And thank God we don't have many social media jokes.
I know, this is the only platform I do the jokes on. I think a big one on Twitter, and this one that I found that I used personally that really kind of helped me, was thanking new followers personally.
Oh, yeah.
It helped me kind of grow my channel, and doing this right across all of the channels, I think, is something to worth.
You do a video on yours, don't you?
Yeah, like, certainly, I suppose because my business, thankfully, increased, my time has less been allowed me to do this, but definitely on Twitter, when new followers were following me, I would, as best I could, do a personal video to thank them, and I would tweet it out to them. And it just created a whole different vibe completely because it was me on the video. And it sort of made that follower kind of feel so appreciated
by
taking the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, think about that for your business. You know, what a way to set your business apart by something personal.
I'm a big chicken. I'll hide behind the gifts.
We'll get you in front of the camera one day.
But again, as you say, you know, keep it upbeat where you can, depending on your business. Because at the end of the day, Twitter is engagement focused and people like to converse with people, so to speak. So you want to keep it, don't have it robotic and come across as if you are empathetic and interested in what your followers are coming back with as their comments, because it might be something that you might want to tweet about.
Yeah.
So it's always good to keep an eye on what they are, you know, commenting on the tweet or what they're tweeting out. Do you know that way?
Yeah.
So, going from there, like all other social media channels, as I say, you will have to be sociable, engage and comment on your own tweets so that they know you actually exist and it's not, you know, just being set and forget, you know, like, you know, scheduled. You want to show that there's a real person behind that tweet, you know.
Well, certainly, you know, for businesses, if you have a Twitter channel, look at your notifications. You know, if you see people...
That's the little bell.
Yeah, like if you are checking those notifications and you'll see, say, where there's been new likes or new retweets on your tweets, you know, you should engage with those people to, first of all, thank them for liking or retweeting, follow them if they're in your target niche.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd be very surprised that by doing that, it can actually build up your follower base and maybe start some new engagements. Now, there is also a little kind of trick as well, or a miss, something that can confuse a lot of people, is when you're crafting your tweet, should you put the Twitter handle, like the at P Twyford at the start?
Oh no.
Or in the middle? And it, you can do both, but it depends on what you're
in. I always say use the word like hi or hello or cheers at, because it just looks like you're talking to the person. You're not just going, you know, you don't go Mr. Philip Twyford, hi, thank you very much. You'd always say hi and follow through from there, you know?
And like, I suppose the interesting thing is, see, if you went, for example, at P Twyford, great to have you following us, what it will do is it'll direct the message to at P Twyford, but only the people who follow me and follow them will see the tweet. Where if you, as you said, if you put it in the middle, everyone will see it, even.
Yeah.
So it depends what you're trying to do, but
When you say in the middle, I'm talking about like having a word before.
Yes, exactly. Sorry, yes, exactly.
Or if it's the middle, it's like you're talking about, and you go at Philip Twyford. You're not actually. You're going to go, who are they talking to?
Exactly. So now, obviously, you know as well when you're crafting the tweet, if the Twitter handle is a little bit obscure. Like for example, if I was at the Curly Marketer. But you're trying to craft a sentence to say, listen, thanks, Philip, for following, maybe. Mm-hmm. It might be then the consideration to, if you were going to use maybe an image, a thank you image, you could tag at Curly Marketer. But so I'll still see it, but it makes more sense from a visual perspective.
Yeah. It's you're kind of greeting the person.
Yes.
So to speak. Yeah. And then also you've got to say to yourself, remember at the end of the day, it's social media, not selling media. And use your emojis and avoid political issues, you know.
That's a big one. We always kind of say, listen, unless it's actually very much relevant to your business, you know, stay away from politics, religion,
Those sorts of things. There's a certain individual in America that loves to tweet and tweet and tweet, and really I don't engage with them.
Yes.
So, Philip, so far we have covered tweets, Twitter, strategies, certain people that love to tweet in America, talking about engaging with your Twitter followers, commenting, and also about direct messages, which are the private messages that people can communicate with you off the Twitter feed, so to speak. I was thinking we could also touch on about things that confuse people.
Mm-hmm.
So do you want to go ahead, as they say?
Yeah, sure. I think, I suppose, Twitter was one of the sort of first social media shows where there was a... the whole element of using the hashtags has been a very potent piece. And obviously you've got on Twitter, you've got the trending hashtags, and obviously you could have your own branded hashtag. Now, trending hashtags are very interesting because every day of the week has a potential trending hashtag that you can get involved in, like Monday motivation, Tuesday tips,
Wednesday wisdom, throwback Thursday, Friday feeling.
Yeah.
Another one that I say is Saturday kitchen, and people think I'm a bit mad with that, yeah, because that's, I say, well, most people are in the kitchen on a Saturday.
Exactly.
And then, of course, the old Sunday morning.
Yes. And I think it's a great way if your product or service can align with some of those hashtags. And it's relevant, you should get involved because it'll expose potentially your tweet to a much wider audience.
Yeah, so you're, are you a kind of a throwback Thursday kind of person? Or?
Oh, I'm a throwback Thursday, to be honest with you.
Know, your jokes are definitely.
And a Wednesday washout, yeah, and a Sunday sit down with myself.
Well, I have to say I'm a Friday feeling girl, but there you go, you know, and crunchy.
But yeah, like I do for some clients who are relevant, it's the Monday motivation does work very well because of their particular client base. Then for other clients...
I think that works with everybody. I mean, who doesn't need to be motivated on a Monday?
Yeah, like I suppose so. Like some people do find them cheesy, but I suppose if they're done well, mm-hmm, and they're not cliche like my jokes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, I think they can work very well. The whole area of following and followers can cause a bit of confusion because Twitter, by its nature, yes, you will get followers organically through what you tweet, but generally it's always been the sort of platform that you have to follow someone in order to maybe get a follow back. And generally, if someone follows you, generally you'd follow them back unless their profile really is not relevant,
okay,
to your business.
So, like, for example, say you're in the wedding business, right?
Yeah.
You could be a florist. So you'd, mm-hmm, maybe want to follow hotels,
yep,
that would do weddings, yeah, you know, maybe dress, you know, wedding dressmakers, yeah, designers, sorry. I can tell I don't get married every day, so I lose track of what...
It's been a long time.
It has been a long time.
A long time.
A long time. So, but anyway, you've got to say to yourself, who am I going to align myself with? So when somebody, yeah, comes onto your Twitter account, they're going to go and see who... are you following? And, yeah, if you're not following things that are relevant to you, it's not going to look well. So you've got, yeah, to align yourself with what is in your sphere that is relatable to what you do.
Yeah, and I think that's a very good point. I think myself and Emer, you know, we are both business owners. We work for ourselves. But a huge part for us is collaborations.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a florist, there's no reason why you can't gain a relationship with a photographer.
Exactly.
Or a videographer,
yeah,
who may be looking for a lovely florist to dress up,
yeah,
the venue. Mm-hmm. So we just don't kind of focus on, well, that the photographer's not going to be getting married, so he doesn't need my florist. But think of it like in a third dimension nearly, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Like another area where people kind of get confused is, say, Twitter cards and Twitter analytics.
Yeah.
I suppose the Twitter card, once again, is something that you can access as a business if you sign up for Twitter advertising. But the great thing is, while you put in your credit card details,
you don't have to spend any money.
Mm. And once you do that, once you set up your Twitter ad account, you get access to creating a Twitter card. And you may see these on your Twitter feed where they're like an image, but they have a little bit of text underneath them. And they, in effect, are clickable. So,
yeah,
and they're proven to actually be a lot more clickable than, say, other tweets, even ones that maybe just have a standard image.
Okay.
I think there's potential that Twitter actually even also prefer maybe Twitter cards because it's more engaging for the audience,
yeah,
etc. With Twitter analytics, as you mentioned in a previous show, this is a really valuable kind of area.
It is, because you can see who your top mention is. You can actually say to yourself, well, I saw what was the best engager with me. And you can actually say to yourself, I can actually get to see what has been the best tweet of the week.
Well, that's it. Your favorite tweets, I suppose even the demographics of your audience.
Yeah.
Because you may think that your audience is of a particular demographic or age group,
mm,
and you suddenly realize they're not.
No. And you can also go in and see what's trending yep, also coming up that you may not have actually considered looking at before.
Exactly. And even, I suppose, understanding that the most positive tweet that you have put out may surprise you, and it may also give you a hint as to the type of content that actually really resonates with your audience. So maybe you need to produce more of that content.
Yeah, exactly. And then don't forget to about your Twitter Advanced search.
Yeah, well, the Twitter Advanced search is a really powerful tool, because especially as I had there a few weeks ago, I was trying to find tweets from 2017.
I thought you were going to say you're looking for social media jokes.
That's a good idea. Thank you, Eimear. I'm going to use that now for my next.
No!
But it's great if you're looking for old tweets, you know, where you're trying to find a particular
old
tweet.
Tweets?
Old tweets, yeah.
Not so, that old.
Yeah, well, speak for yourself.
Oh, this is no video.
But yeah, like if you're trying to find old tweets from 2017, 2016, your very first tweet, you can go on to advanced search.
Yeah.
If you're trying to find old tweets from maybe a previous client, you can find that to see what did you do. Like a great technique for using the advanced search is if you're managing Twitter for an account and you want to see, well, what were we talking about this time last year?
Oh, yeah.
Should we be replicating it
hashtag
this year?
Hashtag Throwback Thursday.
Exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm. So
yeah. Can I jump in? I've been sitting here very quietly listening to both of you, and it's a great show. And it was, I need to ask you a couple of questions.
Of course.
From someone who loves and hates Twitter.
Okay.
Okay. And I want to ask you just something you said there, Philip, which really I didn't know.
Sure, yeah, no problem.
And that was about digging up old tweets.
Yes.
Do you believe in tweets that, say, tweets I posted, say, 3 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Can I use them again?
You can repurpose.
Repurpose them?
Yeah. What's relevant for, you know, whatever you were tweeting about then, if it's still relevant? Like, if you had tweeted out some key business advice that you felt was still kind of relevant for today and could still apply successfully, repurpose it. If it was something whereby may not work, because I know from our perspective, from a social media, there's certain kind of tools or tips that will no longer work anymore.
Mm.
But yeah, like if you wanted to see, well, what theme was I talking about back in 2018 or 2017? Could I revisit that? Have I forgotten about it? You can bring it up, you know.
And the other question as well that I want to ask you, sorry for gatecrashing your beautiful show, but I
this is Mr. Joe Dalton, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
He's the boss. He said we could do this.
he's a loud dude. Yeah. He's the chairman of the station.
He's the boss. The boss. The boss of the boss.
Yeah. The question I have, events.
Yes.
Do you use it to get people to the event, or is it more powerful when the event is on to get people up to the next event?
No, I always say at least 6 weeks beforehand.
Yeah.
And whoever's going to your event, encourage them to use that hashtag.
Yeah.
Because it builds momentum. It actually gets people to see the event that maybe wouldn't have seen it or heard of it before.
Mm-hmm.
And then afterwards, get them to use it as well. So it's the pre, on the day, and post the event. So that means they will end up saying, oh, I missed your event.
The event on
it,
yeah.
I must actually, you know, go to the next one.
And should, coming up to the 6 weeks before it,
yeah,
should I be posting 2 times a day or once a day or 6 times a day about that event between other tweets? Do you understand what I'm trying to get at?
Yeah,
like certainly, like as we would have discovered, some of your audience may be on at 8 in the morning, but then there'll be a potential who might be on at 12, some at 3, some at 8. So like kind of, we always kind of say, if you're crafting tweets, they're going to be relevant and they're about the events, you know, for example, the 8 o'clock tweet could be maybe about one session, the 12 o'clock something else.
Mm-hmm.
But you use that hashtag because, like, we've both experienced, like I know I work with clients where the event hashtag suddenly took on such a life it became their branded hashtag, so that every tweet now, regardless of the event,
becomes on it.
Love it. Well, thank you. I love your show.
Thanks so much. Thank you very much.
We are delighted that you are extending the shows now as well going forward.
And the jokes haven't put you off now.
No, the jokes haven't. The sense of humour has,
here.
But the jokes have. But
hashtag social media jokes.
Yes. And talk to you later, guys.
Thanks so much. Brilliant.
Come back again.
Yes, anytime. You see, folks, we can do this. We can take the questions, the hard questions, and go back to the answers. Yeah.
Especially from the boss. He's gone now. So, come on, what's next?
Right, next one. Now, this is something that we might challenge ourselves, particularly, I know yourself, Emer, is Periscope. Obviously via Twitter natively going live.
Yeah, I had a go with a friend of mine, and it is actually not as bad as I thought. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you can be found on the map of Periscope that people wouldn't find you on. So that's amazing, you know?
Yes.
So I advise it's live video for Twitter using the app Periscope.
Yeah. Now, a big area that Twitter in particular, but like a lot of social media channels, is customer service.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm sure everybody... like I know myself, my experience, I had an issue with my mobile provider.
Not naming names. Okay.
But I had an issue with the mobile provider.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to give them credit.
Okay.
The customer service was fantastic. I did a direct message via Twitter to their Twitter channel. And the customer service person was straight on. It was a phone unlocking issue I had.
Okay.
Because I switched to a new provider. And... but I've had experience with other industries
mm-hmm.
where I've direct messaged and I've got no response. And
especially because you didn't get your first class seat again on the way to New York, honestly.
Yeah, and the champagne didn't flow.
Not good enough.
So, Emer, I know in particular this is an area that you were very much focusing on for 2020 is social media, customer service.
Digital customer service with Twitter.
Yes.
Yay. My advice is think of it as an opportunity, as a way to use that Twitter platform as a customer service tool. You'll be amazed that people are, you know, it's like a social listening tool.
Yep.
And you can put in your, you know, something that maybe your product or your business name and see what people are saying about you. And then you might be able to encourage people to engage with you, and you could actually solve their problem there and then, or, you know, be able to guide them to a DM and keep them as a happy customer, you know.
Yeah, and you can as well, which will help your customer service potentially, is either use a free service like Google Alerts, putting your company name to see are you mentioned, or a paid tool, I think it's called Mention.
Yes.
And once again, this might allow you to see when your company has been mentioned, both positively and negatively, to see.
Well, put it this way, you can't please everybody.
Yeah.
You can please some of the people some of the time, but not all of the time. So that's why I'm saying do look and search for yourself on Twitter and see what your audience is saying about you, you know?
Yeah, I think it's critical. I think social media, Twitter and all the channels, I think the one message we want people to take away today is that get engaged, be social and react to any sort of message you get directly, you know, respond.
Mm-hmm.
Because people are no longer emailing or really using the phone. They're getting on and making their opinions
known. Because, you know, a lot of businesses aren't on 24/7, but Twitter is. And, you know, they will, if they're not a happy bunny, they're going to tell the world. So you need to be aware of that. And say to yourself, right, well, if I was them, how would I like to be treated?
Exactly.
You know?
So that has been Twitter. It's been Let's Get Social. Remember to check out our Podbean podcast, the Let's Get Social Shows podcast. I've been Philip Twyford, the Curly Marketer.
And I'm Emer Duffy of Fit Social Media, your social media personal trainer. But also go and check out our Twitter accounts because they are pinned tweets.
Yes.
And you won't miss them.
Exactly. And I'm at P. Twyford.
And I'm at Fit Social Media. And we'll talk to you again.
Take care.
Bye.